All right, good morning. Welcome here, everybody, on this momentous occasion. And I think on behalf of our family, I think just want to thank you all for this. Feels like it's an act of love for our family, for sure, as far as the accessibility part of it goes. And I pray and hope that this church move can be an act of love for everyone here, and that can be a good thing for everyone here. The last verse that Ivan shared in Joshua there was good. I was thinking, in our small group, we just went through the book of Joshua, and what stood out to me was the pile of stones that God had them build by the River Jordan. I hope and I pray that every time you drive by this church on the road, that you can just think about the goodness of God, and that this, I know it's just a building of bricks, but like when you drive by, your spirit can connect with that time that you had an experience here that drew you closer to God. And that's my prayer for everyone here. That's a prayer for myself, and as we go from here. There's a song that I was introduced to as a younger person, I'll put it that way. Goes like this: City on a hill. Did you ever hear of the city on a hill? Said one old man to the other. It once shined bright and it would be shining still, but they all started turning on each other. You see, the poets thought the dancers were shallow, and the soldiers thought the poets were weak, and the elders saw the young ones as foolish, and the rich men never heard the poor man speak. But one by one they ran away with their made-up minds to leave it all behind. And the light began to fade in the city on the hill. Each one thought that they knew better, that they were different by design. Instead of standing strong together, they let their differences divide. But it was the rhythm of the dancers that gave the poets life. It was the spirit of the poets that gave the soldiers strength to fight. It was the fire of the young ones. It was the wisdom of the old. It was a story of the poor man that needed to be told. It was a rhythm of the dancers that gave the poets life. It was a spirit of the poets that gave the soldiers strength to fight. It was a fire of the young ones. It was a wisdom of the old. It was a story of the poor man that needed to be told. And it ends like this: Come home. And the father's calling still, come home. Come home to the city on the hill. Bible scholars have used the term city on a hill to describe what a church should look like, or what a church looks like. Matthew 5:14, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. I believe that's God's desire for the church, to be a city on a hill. It can't be hid. And so I have a question for you this morning, and I know we've had a lot of mic passing around already, but the question is, what is church? And I'm not looking for perfect answers. I'm just looking for what's on your heart. And so I'm going to let you chew on that question for a while, and we're going to come back to it. But in the meantime, we're going to focus on a passage of scripture in Matthew as well. Matthew 16, verses 13 to 23. And here, Jesus talks about building his church. And he's going to build it on the rock. And we're going to find out what that rock is. I feel like my mind and heart went down like multiple different roads when I was studying this passage. And I decided I might be making a series out of it. I'm not sure. We'll see what happens. But this morning I want to focus on a church built on the rock, and the rock is Jesus Christ. So Jesus says, on this rock I will build my church. Verse 13, Jesus asked, who do people say that I am? He asked his disciples this, and the disciples answer him. He says, the crowds consider you some kind of a prophet. You're a good teacher. You prophesy good things. You tell truth. And then Jesus flips the question around on them and he says, but who do you say that I am? And I think that's what Jesus is asking me this morning. I believe that's what Jesus is asking you as well. Who do you say that I am? And Peter, always a bold one. I think Peter's, if I can have a favorite, one of my favorite apostles. Always out there, doesn't matter what people think, he just says it, right? And then he has to retract sometimes. And I feel like I can identify with that sometimes. And so Jesus, or Peter answers, he says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You're the Messiah. You are God's Son. That's a bold statement. In the New Testament, Christ is more than Jesus' second name. It is a title that means Messiah, anointed one, kings, priests, prophets, and other roles. Peter also declares Jesus' relationship as a Son of God. And then Jesus blesses Peter's confession. He says, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And Jesus says, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Now, I don't believe Jesus here is saying, and there's different opinions on this, depending what your denominational creed is, and that's fine. But I don't believe Jesus is saying that on this rock, Peter, I am going to build your church. On this man, on this human being, I'm going to build your church. I believe Jesus is saying, on the confession of who I am, we're going to build this church. I'm going to build this church. That is the rock. That is the cornerstone of what church is. And that is what Jesus built his church on today. The church will advance and it will grow on this confession. And even today, 2,000 plus years later, that's what the church is built on. That's what the church has grown on the confession of Jesus Christ, the proclamation of Jesus Christ as the Son of God, Jesus Christ the Messiah. And also verse 19, Jesus there, and I know there's different interpretations for this. I didn't go too deep into it. But I believe the gist of it is Jesus gives the church authority. He gives believers authority, heavenly authority to build church, heavenly authority to proclaim who Jesus is and take Jesus to the world. So we have Peter boldly proclaiming that Jesus is the Son of God, that Jesus is the Messiah. And then Jesus goes on, and it's kind of like you could think that maybe Jesus is a bit of a killjoy here, but he goes on with his teaching, and he predicts his suffering and death. You see, at this point, the disciples still thought that they were building an earthly kingdom, an earthly movement, and they could overrun the Romans, kick them out of their land, and become totally Jewish again, maybe with a different religious slant to it. But Jesus goes on to tell them about his suffering and death, how he's gonna die, then in 3 days be risen again. And Peter speaks better than he knows in verse 22. And he says, far be it from you. This isn't going to happen. This isn't going to happen to you. We're going to protect you. We got a zealot in the group. We got a doctor. We got a tax collector, if that helps. It's tax season pretty soon here, I think. We got fishermen. We got the tools here. We're going to protect you. You're not going to die. But Jesus says, get you behind me, Satan. And that's pretty harsh words. But he goes on to say, you're an offense to me. This isn't the purpose. I need to die. I need to die and be risen again. That's the gist of the kingdom. And so you notice that first Peter is called a rock for proclaiming who Christ is. And now he's called a devil or a tempter pretty much, or a hindrance. When he forbids the cross and idolizes an earthly kingdom, he is a stumbling stone. But when he declares Jesus as Christ, he is a rock, a useful component to building church. Not to be too hard on Peter, he was human like I am. He did, in fact, wholeheartedly embrace the kingdom of Christ. And he had the privilege of opening the door of the freeing message of the gospel to both the Jews and also first to the Jews. He was one of the first ones to preach to the Jews and first to preach to the Gentiles, and we see that in Acts. Jesus will build his church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So as you think of the city on a hill, think of the foundation this morning, think of what is church built on? What is our church built on? What is the foundation? And I trust you that your mind and your hearts and your way will be drawn to the proclamation that Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is everything. Jesus is the Savior. All right, let's go back to that question I asked earlier. What is church? And I'm going to, there's a mic at the back. I'm just going to open it up for anybody to share your heart. What do you think of when you think of what church is? What do you want church to be?
Church is a group of people that are advancing the kingdom of God. I believe one of my desires, and I also believe one of the things church is this group of people is encountering the Almighty God. And one of the ways we can do that here is opening, having an open altar where we can, like we had the other Sunday, and just encountering the Lord, and as a body, as a group, we all encounter Him as we go from here throughout our lives. But we can do that as a group, being an unstoppable force in this world. That is what God has called His church or His kingdom.
Yes, thank you. The gathering, the ecclesia.
I do think that the spiritual element of a church is obviously the forefront of it, but I also think that it should be a sort of like a rock for the community that surrounds it, mm-hmm. like an anchor. I think that coming into church and having it be like the center of a community, you know that you're always welcome in it, that the people around are always willing to help you. Mm-hmm. They're performing community outreach. They're helping all that they can find God in their own way. I think that's a very, very important aspect of church, is just being that community center and knowing that you're surrounded by maybe not necessarily like perfect people, but people who are trying their best and want to help you do the same.
That's right. Thank you. Church community, so important.
Church is a group of people that are not only committed to God, but they're committed to each other. Christ's church is a body, and therefore we represent each other. And so I think God has an expectation that we live for each other's well-being and that we represent each other well.
Commitment and accountability.
Yeah, he more or less said what was on my mind, I guess. I would add that church is a place where we are free and hopefully committed to using the unique gifts that God has given us to edify the whole, and expect to be refined and edified by the gifts that he has given others.
Gifts of the body, that's so true, yes.
When I first started coming here, I didn't know anything about church, and I saw people. One of the first Sundays I came here, somebody asked me the question, "Are you a born-again believer?" And my reply was, "I don't know what that means," or "I don't know, how do I know?" And it really got me thinking. And other times when I started coming out to the youth group, I seen young teenagers just worshiping Jesus from the heart. You could see they were just singing from the heart, and I had never seen anything like that. And yeah, the boldness, everybody, it just seeing people walking so boldly with the Lord, I believe that's what church is. People were so caring, and there was no judgment of where I came from or who I was. I believe that's what being the hands of Jesus is.
Yes, thank you, Kevin.
I believe church is a space for discipleship, in discipling others and raising up people to disciple others.
Yes, thank you. Discipleship, following Christ. And we see that in the latter part of chapter 16, cross-bearing, following. Anybody else? This is good.
I guess what came to my mind is a place to come back to. There's been moments of loneliness in my journey in the last 7-8 years, but always coming back to here, it felt like a place to belong, in a safe place, and just people that were willing to walk along, even if they didn't understand what was going on.
Safe place, yeah. All right, well, thank you all for your input. That's beneficial. Two of the subject I feel led to explore in the subject of the city on a hill is the crucified life, and also I want to just explore the what Jesus teaches about the body of Christ and the diversity within the body, the differing gifts. So yeah, we'll see what God has for that in another date. So in closing, I'm reading this book here. It's called Church Matters by Gary Miller. How many of you have read it? Okay. Chris did, no surprise. My mom dropped it off at our house, and I was like, okay, whatever. But I picked it up and got into it, and it was really helpful for me to, it's not like all kinds of Bible verses just lumped together trying to explain what he teaches, but what he teaches is very much based on Scripture. And yeah, I don't agree with everything, but it's been helpful for me to understanding this subject. And so, yeah, if your mom drops a book off, or if your mom gives you a book, maybe read it. You never know. I'll leave that with you. So here's four areas that I thought of, and I didn't, the song is shared about the city on the hill. I didn't mean that to be negative or bring negative connotation here, but it's life, right? We're humans, and in and amongst all the grace and proclaiming power of Jesus, we as humans can mess up, right? And that's the way it's going to be as long as we're on this earth. So we can choose life or we can choose death. There's the tension there. And so just as a way of an encouragement, I have 4 points here that stood out to me in this book of how we can strengthen a propelling and a favorable church community here at Hassan and Abroad and soon to be New Life Church. So the number one is understand the power of patient prayer. Often we want to change something and we want to change it right now. We see something we want to change often in somebody else and we think it should be looked at or like just right now. But I would like to, and this is an encouragement for me, is to spend time in patient prayer. Seek out God's will. Yes, your voice matters. Yes, what you think should change matters. But take time to pray about it. Take time to seek the face of God and listen to the Spirit on it. In haste, sometimes we destroy the picture God has been trying to paint in our church community. And the good old saying is good things take time sometimes. This is a practical one, and number two is, and I don't mean this as a negative thing at all, but maybe you in your walk with God, in your walk with church community have felt this already. But it just resist forming cliques of like-minded people within the church. It's easy to gravitate towards folks who see life through our lens. Remember the beauty of that church is to show the love of Jesus, that the love of Jesus is power enough to blend the lives of people from all walks of life. I know it's easy for me. Like my work community is truck driving, and I can sit down with a truck driver, spend the whole afternoon with a truck driver, and feel heard and feel understood for the most part, if he agrees with the kind of truck I like. But that's just the way we are as humans. And so the encouragement here is to reach outside of that. Expand your world, expand your view within the church. Hear other people out. Understand them. That is the power of love in a church community. Number three, be the vision you want to see in others. Feel free to live out your ideals. If you're going to call your church to higher ground, be sure to model what you desire. And number four, excuse me, don't lose sight of God's desire for church, for close church community. As our church moves together, choose to love sacrificially, and in that we will be a city on a hill, which is God's ultimate design for the church. In closing here, the church is God's final effort to redeem humanity. And God desires that people looking at our church see something so compelling, so powerful, so earth-shatteringly different from anything else that they immediately sense the presence of God. God bless you all. I love you all. And look forward to see what God has for us in the coming years as we move on from here.